Hence, my message today is titled the Secret Beyond Healing. The Secret Beyond Healing. And my text is taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This story is not recorded casually. Every movement Jesus makes is intentional. Every word that the author Luke includes carries revelation. And so I want to draw 5 spiritual insights that will open this passage for us today, not just as history we read, but as a mirror for our own journey. The first insight is this, that the unnatural sequence highlights the separation. In verse 11, it says that on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Now, if you look at the map shown on the screen, something stands out in verse 11. If Jesus is traveling south toward Jerusalem, then the natural sequence should be from Galilee to Samaria, and then you arrive at Jerusalem. But Luke reverses it. He says, Samaria, Galilee, on the way to Jerusalem. Now, that's not a geographical error. It's a theological emphasis because God doesn't do random. In other words, the author Luke is hinting to us, pay attention to what is going to happen next in this story. The one who will respond rightly to Jesus will not be the insider, those that we know, but the outsider. Not the one who should know better, but the one that nobody expected. This miracle unfolds on the border between Galilee and Samaria, the in-between place where identity is uncertain, where stories are fractured, where society keeps a distance. And waiting there are 10 men who are lepers. Men separated not only by a disease that attacked their bodies, but by the loss of everything that once gave them meaning. And there are 3 layers of separation in this story. The first is this, that there is the geographical separation. Galilee and Samaria were neighboring lands divided by a long history of tension and mistrust. Most Jews avoided Samaria entirely. They would rather travel around it than to go through it. They would skirt either along the coastal line or go inland by the Jordan River. A little longer route, but much preferred and safer for them by the Jews. But Jesus doesn't walk through the pain. He walks right into it. He steps into the places we call messy, inconvenient, complicated. The places we'd rather avoid, the places we skip past, we ignore or refuse to touch. Between the accepted and the unaccepted, the rejected. Between the clean and the unclean. Between the religious and the forgotten. Because grace does not travel along the safe and easy roads. It moves through the broken ones too. And this is where Jesus begins. And secondly, there is the religious separation. Samaritans were considered spiritually unclean and outside of the covenant. They are mixed in lineage, not fully Jewish, not fully Gentile, the result of intermarriage between the Assyrians and the Jews. They were also mixed in worship. They have their own temple, they have their own priesthood, and they worship outside of Jerusalem. And they have mixed theology. They only believe a portion of the Old Testament. And so centuries of hostility had hardened the divide. A Samaritan is always seen as not one of us. And yet Luke wants us to see something astonishing, that in this story, the most sincere worship is about to come from the one everybody assumed was the furthest from God. Because Jesus does not just step into spaces we avoid, he steps toward people we overlook. And then the third area is the social separation between the clean and the unclean. Verse 12 tells us that the lepers stood at a distance because in their culture, they are considered unclean. And so they were not just sick, but they were excluded. They were cut off from human touch, from affection, from family, from fellowship, from community, from worship. No embraces, no shared meals. They have no seat at the table. They were alive, but they were not allowed to be among the living. They live on the outside of the outside. And yet Jesus moves toward them because separation never stops our Savior. He crosses every dividing line to reach those who have no way back. Amen. And then insight number two, why did Jesus choose 10 lepers? Why not 10 beggars? Why not 10 servants? Why not 10 orphans? Because this is not simply a story of 10 men healed. It is a portrait of the human condition. The lepers are not just characters in the Bible. They are a mirror of who we are today and what we must look into. They represent our spiritual condition, broken, separated, and in desperate need of mercy. They represent who we are today because in Scripture, the Hebrew word for leprosy does not just refer to one medical disease. It refers to anything that slowly eats away at a person from the outside in. It numbs before it destroys. You don't lose your hand in the day when you have leprosy. You lose that feeling first. And that is exactly what sin does to us. Sin doesn't always shout. It whispers. It works quietly. It desensitizes. It distorts identity. And it isolates your heart from God. And this is why lepers in the Bible live outside of the camp, cut away, cut off from the family and the community. They could not come home. They could not come close. They had to shout, unclean, unclean, wherever they go, so that others around them could avoid them. You know, I was reminded of this recently. I had to work late, so I took a bus home. And I on the bus, I choked on something, and I cough, and I cough, and I cough. And then I noticed a strange phenomenon. People around me started to shift their seats away from So I thought, maybe they just want a nicer view of the scenery outside the bus. No, I realized that they were avoiding me because I was coughing. I wanted to tell them, I was just choking on something. No one said a word, but I felt it, that distance. Imagine living your entire life just like that. Leprosy in Scripture is a living picture of sin, slow, silent, and separating. It separates us from God, from one another, and even from who we are created to be. We too once stood at a distance, unable to draw near, unable to heal ourselves. And that's why the second point is that their cry is also our cry. Verse 13 says that, and when the lepers lifted their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This was not just a cry for healing. It was a cry to be restored, to be seen, to be welcomed back, to be accepted again into life and into the community. And so when they cried, have mercy on us, they were saying, we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. We need you to bring us home. We cannot return on our own. And that is the cry of every soul that finally stops pretending that you are strong. Before we ever ask God for blessing, before we ever sought for a breakthrough, the first true prayer that comes up from our heart and from our lips should be this, Lord, have mercy on me. And the beautiful truth is that His mercy always moves first. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 tells us that His mercies are new every morning. And the good news is they never run out. And so we are like that lepers, stood far off, marked by sin, unable to draw near. But Jesus came to us. He saw us. He spoke to us. He came into our lives and set us on a journey of faith. Amen. And the other question is this. Why did Jesus mention 10 lepers? Why not 5? Why not 15? Have you asked that before? Why 10? Because in Scripture, the number 10 is consistently associated with testing. Not for God to learn something about us, but for us to learn something about what is truly in our hearts. So let me show you, let me give you a few examples. Let's have a little Bible trivia. I'll ask a few questions and you just shout out the answer. How many plagues were there in Egypt? Very good. Another one. How many commandments did God give Moses? How many times did God test Israel in the wilderness? 10. That's number 14. You get a pattern now. How many times were Jacob's wages changed? 10. How many days was Daniel tested in Daniel chapter 1? 10. How many virgins was mentioned in Matthew 25? How many days of testing did the church in Smyrna have to go through in Revelation chapter 2? 10 days. And how many disciples did Jesus have? Those who said 10, I'll see you at the altar after the service. We need to do remedial class. And so when Luke tells us that there were 10 lepers, he's telling us, hey, look, this story is not just about healing. It's also a test. Not a test on the physical body, but a test of the heart. And so the question is not, can Jesus heal? Of course he can. The real question is, what will you do after he does that? Will you go your way or will you return to his way? That is the test. And that brings us to insight number 3, the second step of faith. Now, the tests God allows are never designed to fail you. They are designed to form you and to reward you. And even if you didn't pass the first time, it is not to condemn you, but to reveal your heart so that you could change and you can return and walk in faith again. Now, this passage in this story shows us 2 steps of faith. The first step of faith is the test of going. Verse 14 says this, that Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed or healed. Now, why Jesus didn't heal them first and then send them along the way? Just like in Luke chapter 5, the few chapters earlier, he touched a leper and healed him instantly. But not here in Luke chapter 17. Here, Jesus sends them while the disease was still visible. He sends them before the miracle. He sends them while nothing has changed yet. But because according to the law, you only go to the priest for verification after you are healed, not before, because you're considered unclean. But here, Jesus tells them to go before they see healing. This is faith in its purest form. Faith steps out before it sees. Faith obeys before it understands. Faith moves while the miracle is still unseen. And so the Bible is clear. As they went, not before, not after, but as they went, they were cleansed or they were healed. Sometimes God heals in the going. Sometimes breakthroughs happen in the walking. Sometimes restoration unfolds one obedient step at a time. Whatever you do, don't remain status quo and stay where you are. Amen? That is the first step of faith, the test of going. But there's a second step of faith I see in this story, and that's the test of returning. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. 10 men were healed that day, but only one turned around. The 9 got what they needed, probably the certificate of health from the priest at the temple, and they went back to life. They went back to routine. They went back to normalcy. But the one who returned said it with his steps, coming back. I cannot move on with my life until I return to the one who gave it back to me. Because to that one who came back, honoring God was more important than being validated by men. Here's another powerful truth. Thanksgiving dethrones self and enthrones God. Verses 15 and 16 tells us this, that when he turned back, he praised God. He was praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. I want to pause here for a while and ask the question, why the Samaritan? Why highlight he was a Samaritan? I think it's because he was the one with no pedigree, the one that religion had written off, the one that society keeps outside the circle. He was the least likely to be worshiper in the story. And Jesus says this, that's the heart I'm looking for. Not the impressive, not the knowledgeable, not the well-trained or the polished or those who have put together, but the humble. Because the one who knows that he has nothing to boast in is the one who understands grace the most. But if the heart is proud, it cannot worship. Because so you can preach, you can lead, you can sing, you can have all the training you have and all the language of the church culture. If your heart is proud, you cannot worship. God is not impressed by pedigree. He is moved by humility. He values the return more than reputation. He values the heart more than history. 10 lifted their voices when they were in trouble, but only one lifted his voice when he was delivered from trouble. Anybody can cry out when desperate, but will you still cry out when you're being blessed by God? You see, this Samaritan did 5 things for Jesus. He praised God, and with a loud voice, so he wasn't quiet. He fell on his face. He went low. He fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. He went near, and he gave thanks, probably again and again and again, many times, many, many times. There was nothing casual in his worship that day. There was nothing reserved. There was nothing dignified, because gratitude always bends low when you remember how high his grace has lifted you. Now, here's another thought about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the gateway to God's presence. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this, that enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And so here tells us, this verse tells us that thanksgiving is not a side note to worship. It is in fact the doorway into his presence. The 9 received healing, but only one entered the courts of worship. The 9 got the gift, but the one found the giver. He didn't just come back to say thank you. He came back to worship. Because thanksgiving isn't just about good manners. Thanksgiving is worship in action. The Samaritan didn't just stand at a distance shouting for mercy. He stepped through the gates of thanksgiving right into the presence of God. The others got what they asked for, but he got into where he belonged. You see, many people stop at the gate. They thank God for what the Lord has done for them, but they never step into worship, because that's where transformation happens. Thanksgiving opens the door, but worship keeps you there. The 4th insight is this, that your gratitude matters to God. Verses 17 and 18 tells us that when Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed, where were the 9? Where are the 9? Was no one to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Here Jesus asks 3 questions in a row. 3 questions in a row. Not because he didn't know the answer, but he wanted us to feel the weight of what was missing. He wasn't examining the miracle. He was examining the response to that miracle. Weren't 10 healed? I blessed them all. Where are the 9? Have they forgotten about me? Only this foreigner returned back. What about only this foreigner returned back to acknowledge the giver? What about the rest of the people? All 10 were thankful that they were healed, but only one was grateful enough to return. All 10 walked away healed, but only one came back with restored heart. And this is why Jesus noticed him, because gratitude matters to God. Psalm 50 verse 23 tells us that he who offers a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving honors me, and to him I will show the salvation of God. And so thanksgiving is not a side note to worship. Thanksgiving is not courtesy. Thanksgiving, in fact, is worship. And so when you say thank you to Jesus, not casually, not out of routine, but with sincerity, you give joy to God. The same Jesus who healed your body is still looking to see who will return and say, "I remember who blessed me. I remember who carried me in my darkest moment. I remember your mercy." And so the question for us is this: will I be counted among the 9, or will I be counted among the one who returned? You know, every morning when I open my eyes before my feet touch the ground, I would say a simple Hebrew phrase, Mode Ani, M-O-D-E-H-A-N-I, Mode Ani. It means, Lord, I give thanks. It is my declaration that the first act of my day is not problem solving, it's not planning, it's not even producing something, but my first act of the day is gratitude. Before I check my phone, before I think about the meetings ahead, before any prayer was answered or any blessing is seen, my first breath is, thank you, Lord, for another day. Because worship doesn't begin when I lift up my hands in church. Worship begins when my heart wakes up grateful. Not because everything is perfect, not because every situation is resolved, but because gratitude is the posture I want my heart to stand in. Today is a gift. Breath that you have is a gift. Life itself is a gift. And before I do anything to God or anything, before I do anything for God, I want to thank you for everything that He has already done. Amen. So, back to the title of this sermon. What is the secret beyond healing? Healing is wonderful, but healing was never the destination. Most people stop at the miracle. They receive the blessing and they walk away thinking that the story is complete. But the miracle is not the finish line. It is an invitation. It is the beginning of revelation that leads you to a personal encounter with God. You see, healing reveals God's power, but returning reveals your heart. 10 men cried out for mercy, and all 10 were healed, but only one returned and was made whole. The Samaritan who returned discovered what the others missed. Healing that restores the body, returning that restores the fellowship with God, and worship that restores your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. And so the difference was not the miracle. The difference was the response to the miracle. And so what is the secret beyond healing? It is this, that gratitude is faith returning, and the returning becomes worship that restores. And that is insight number 5. Faith doesn't just walk toward the breakthrough. Faith walks back to the one who gave it to you. And that's why in verse 19 in Luke chapter 17 says this, Jesus said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. That word well in Greek is sozo. It's not just being healed physically, but saved, made whole, complete, restored. It's a wonderful word. Wholeness comes not in the receiving, but in the returning. And so let me ask you today, have you stopped at the gift only, or have you returned to the giver? Have you celebrated the miracle, or have you fallen again at the feet of the miracle maker? Because the real testimony in this story is not God healed me. The real testimony is I came back and I found Him. One last thought as I bring this to a close. Luke is very deliberate in how he describes the man who returned. He doesn't simply say one of them came back. He layers the identity of this one man. He was a Samaritan, rejected religiously. He was a leper, isolated socially. He was a foreigner, excluded culturally, living in no man's land along the border. In other words, he wasn't just one of the 10. He was the least likely to be welcomed, to be noticed, or valued. And yet he became the only one that Jesus commended. The one everyone else overlooked became the one that Jesus highlighted. And this is not just that Samaritan story. This is also our story. Because before grace found us, we were unclean like the leper. Sin had marred us. We were outside of the covenant like the Samaritan, far from God's promises and presence. We were strangers like a foreigner, not belonging in any way to the Lord. We were the ones standing at a distance until mercy walked towards us and entered into our lives. And so here's what makes this story or this moment so stunning. Archaeologists have discovered the temple warning stone from Jesus's time, and it reads something like this. No foreigner may enter beyond this point. Whoever does will be responsible for his own death. In other words, if you're not one of us, stay out. Come any closer and you die. And yet here is this man, a Samaritan, a leper, a foreigner, someone who could not even step into the outer courts of the temple in Jesus' day, now lying face down at the feet of Jesus, closer than any priest could ever stood. He could not enter that earthly temple, but his posture of humility ushered him right into the very presence of God. Because the presence of God is not found in a building, it's found in a person. And his name is Jesus. The distance that religion built, Jesus removed. The shame that sin created, Jesus healed. The barrier that culture enforced on you, Jesus tore it down. And Jesus still crosses boundaries and borders today. The geographical borders, the religious walls, the social stigmas, cultural divides, emotional defenses, and even private barriers that were not meant to be uttered and not verbalized. There's no wall that's too high, no shame too deep, and no distance too far for Jesus to cross over to get you, to reach you. He will go the distance for you. And so if you feel far today from the Lord, I've got great news for you. He's already walking towards you. The 10 came for healing, but Jesus came for them. And all that remains is the return, to come back, to bow low, to worship, and to give thanks. Because wholeness is found at his feet and not found anywhere else in the Lord. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Shall we all stand as I invite the team to just come to the front? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. And I just feel that the Lord is calling some of you to return back to him. You could be physically in church for a long time, but if you're jaded, there are things in your life that you're still struggling with. But perhaps the key for you to unlock is thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You have not been able to give thanks for the things that you're going through. But thanksgiving is exactly what you need, because thanksgiving is the key to unlock. Thanksgiving is declaring to the spiritual atmosphere that I don't know and I don't care what's happening, but I know that God is in charge, God is in control, and he who started a good work in me will be faithful to complete it in my life as long as I keep my eyes on him. He is the author and the perfecter of my faith. I give thanks to the Lord. And so this morning, even as I close this time, I'm wondering whether is there anyone in this auditorium who would say to the Lord, Lord, I want to come back to you. I am that leper. I've been in church. I've been doing all the things, the Christian thing, but today I'm going to just cast away all these things and say, God, I just want to worship and fall at your feet. If the Lord is speaking to you, you want to respond to the Lord. Would you lift up your hands? And when I see the hand, I'll pray for you this morning. Hallelujah. Shandaraba sotoriandaraba shokoriande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, you see the hands that are lifted up. Wherever they are right now, I ask, Lord, for impartation of your spirit, the newness and the freshness of your spirit. Lord, that they have seen healing as the goal. They have seen all the things, the prayer requests as the goal. But the prayer requests, the answer prayers are not the goal. They're just a sign towards, Lord, where you want us to be. And there's an invitation into your presence, deeper into you. Lord, you're calling us deeper into you, Lord. You're calling Cornerstone deeper and deeper into you. And so, Father, we just lift up, Lord, our hands before you and we say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Mode ani. Thank you for another day. Lord, of all the things that you have blessed us, we want to be known also as a people of gratitude, Lord. People who are grateful to you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's sing the song. Let's sing the song, Gratitude, even as I ask the team to just lead us. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Would you lift up your hands for a few moments? Just bless the Lord in your own special way. Just wherever you are, just bless the Lord. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that is within me bless His holy name. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Whosoever offer up praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray this morning that we be the one who returns, Lord. We'll be the one who will turn back, Lord. That we'll rather honor You than to be validated by men, Lord. That the one will be the one who fall at Your feet and to say thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Lord, we thank You for healing. Healing is wonderful, but we want You, Lord. That because without You, healing is meaningless. Without You, everything in life is meaningless. You are at the center of all that we are. And God, we know, Lord, that You have blessed us with many things, Lord. You have blessed us, Lord, with even Orchard Towers, Lord, the new facility. But Lord, without You, without Your presence, the possession means nothing, Lord. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, transit us from possession and right into Your presence, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that gratitude is not small, Lord. It is the mark of a life that has seen mercy and come back to the giver. And so, Father, we pray, seal Your word in our hearts. May we be a thankful people. May we be a people that will give thanks, Lord. May thanksgiving be our portion. May thanksgiving be our worship. God, mark us, Lord, with a heart of gratitude, Lord. We ask. We thank You, Lord. Even as this day, Lord, Your people has blessed You, we pray now, bless Your people. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace and shalom. The Lord put His name on you. The blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, the blessings of God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide in you now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. One more time, let's give God a big praise offering. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.